A.
Pakistan abusing the billions that the United States generously gave that country to fight Al-Qaeda and help their military from 2002 to 2008, but they squandered it elsewhere. We have a story along with odds and ends, plus who nailed the score or who didn't. We'll let you know the answer to that question. Hope you had a great weekend. Kate Delaney hanging with you here on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. As you know, the mantra by now. We're going to talk about the tsunamis. In fact, we're going to talk with a doctor from FIT who has some theories on, you know, first of all, the basics. What is a tsunami? We know what we think a tsunami is in our head, but what is going on in Asia? Crazy. In the Philippines, another tsunami. More people dead. Villages flattened. Flooding everywhere. Also, before we jump to Pakistan, speaking of money and money being squandered or not, so many of us look in our wallets and wonder, didn't the money go a little bit further last year this time? Or you look down the street and you sadly see that your friends are moving, and why are they moving? Because they can't afford to live in the neighborhood anymore, and they're just praying that they can get their house sold before they have to go into foreclosure. We have almost 10% unemployment across this country. 10%. The numbers are ugly. I saw a statistic today where they said something like, for every job opening, there's 6 Americans that are qualified for that job that they narrow it down to. But there's hundreds that apply for most of those jobs. So we know it's tough out there, right? Alan Greenspan, the former Federal Reserve Chairman, was part of the Sunday Swirl. What is the Sunday Swirl? It means the talking head shows from CNN to Fox to ABC to CBS and to NBC. He was on with George Stephanopoulos on ABC, and he talked about what's going on right now with the economy. Where are we at, and just how bad is it?
Well, it's very difficult to make judgments at a time like this, largely because we don't have so many incidents in history to be able to compare it to. But basically, I think the issue is this. The job report was pretty awful, no matter how you looked at it. Indeed, not only, of course, did the unemployment rate go up, but I was particularly concerned about the number of Americans who have been unemployed for 6 months or longer.
5 million Americans.
But that went up sharply in September. And remember, the reason that is a problem, obviously, other than the obvious personal difficulties that families have in such a context, is that the economy loses skills. And people who are out of work for very protracted periods of time lose their skills eventually. And remember that what makes an economy great is a combination of the capital assets of the economy and the people who run it. And if you erode the human skills that are involved there, it is a real and, in one sense, an irretrievable loss.
All right, so then the question becomes to Greenspan, which George asked him, is, well, what do we do? What's going on? What do we do in the future? And
well,
Greenspan,
the issue is essentially economic activity. And the reason I say that is that there is a silver lining in that particular report, and it's difficult to find one. It's that American business, after Lehman Brothers collapsed and the whole financial system imploded, business expected that the economy would go down far more sharply than it in fact did. The result was they laid off a very substantial number of people to the point that the actual hours worked fell even more than the economy. So that what we're getting is artificial numbers which give us productivity gains of horrendous amounts, meaning the amount of labor input per unit of output has been going down and down, and that can't continue. So the silver lining is, at some point, we're going to start to see an improvement in employment. But remember that unless there is a monthly increase of more than 100,000 a month, you still got the unemployment rate continuing.
And that's why the.
All right, so Greenspan talking about only 40% of the $787 billion, also he threw this in Obama's first stimulus package, has been spent. We know that. And he's saying it's helping to create momentum for the economic recovery. I mean, I would argue that it is not stimulating anything, and I'm not the only one who thinks that. Half of the people on the Hill think that. And, of course, many in America say the same thing. What happened to the 78.7? You know, where is it gone, really? And we're in this, what, plugged up somewhere that we can't get this money dispersed? Isn't it interesting that when the fat cats on Wall Street need the money, boy, they get the check right away. And even when the car companies need to be bailed out or taken over, it seems to happen for them. Anyway, it looks like, and Greenspan said it as well, that unemployment, the situation is going to continue to worsen and should hit that 10% mark. He's right that it's hard to manipulate all the factors and to get a real handle on it because, of course, it's different from region to region in particular. One thing that's happening, anybody listening to me right now, you're scared to death because you're surviving on unemployment as the best you can. You're looking for a job. You're doing, you know, whatever you can, that due diligence you have to do to get those checks and apply for, what is it, three jobs every time you get a check or however much it is. The unemployment benefits are going to be extended. Both Chuck Schumer, who was also on this week with George Stephanopoulos, and Senator John Cornyn have both said that, but we've heard that really for the last couple of weeks. And also for the unemployment, if you're a COBRA person, you have a family, that naturally gets extended. And I know there's people worried about the housing situation, so the housing credits should also get extended too, which means for first-time home buyers, $8,000. And imagine how much that could go, certainly a long way in some circumstances, I would think anyway. That would definitely help, and it should help people trying to get rid of homes. All right, when I first cracked open the mic, of course, what did I mention? The fact that Pakistan has been sucking off the teat, if you will, of the United States for a while, and we're only too glad to do it to help the military, right? But then you hear this deal, where for 6 years, while Al-Qaeda was regrouping, rearming, getting organized, getting funds, while that was happening, only $500 million of the $6.6 billion in American money, or aid, right, actually even made it to the Pakistani military. There were two army generals who wanted to be anonymous because, of course, they can't speak publicly, and they were backed up, what they said, by other retired and active generals in Pakistan and bureaucrats and government ministers, so they're not just kicking up a bunch of dust. And they say that the money was diverted instead from the military to the economy to help, at the time, President Musharraf, to help him look better in that country. It went to things like subsidies and other things, but not toward tanks, equipment, all of that. So give me a break there. Got to follow the money, folks, right? Stay with us. Tsunami Talk next.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over you're smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Wow, last week we were talking about what was going on in the American Samoa and the Tonga, and, you know, the tsunami hit the Pacific Islands, and then I just mentioned the Philippines. What is happening in Asia? We are thrilled to welcome to the show our next guest, Dr. George Maul. He's a professor of oceanography, and he is the dean of the School of Marine Environmental Systems at Florida Institute of Technology, and I think right now he's in Ocala with a bunch of Boy Scouts. Sounds interesting. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming on the show.
No, I got back from the scout camp, but thanks for calling.
You know, you have such an interesting job. But before we dive into this, I've always been fascinated by the ocean, and I've met a lot of oceanographers in my life. I just went to I went to Hawaii a couple of months ago, and I was on the Pacific Whale Foundation's boat, and all of the kids on the boat had different backgrounds, but they were schooled much in what you do. And I think even one of them went to the Florida Institute of Technology. Did you know when you were a young lad that this is what you wanted to do?
Someplace in my latter years of my undergraduate education, I got bit by the science bug and decided, yeah, I really want to do marine meteorology and oceanography and that sort of stuff. Absolutely, yeah.
And Florida Institute of Technology is one of the best, right, in the country?
Well, we think so.
Good answer. That's a good thing for a dean to say, for sure.
You bet.
So let's take it from the beginning, because a lot of people listening, explain tsunamis and how tsunamis are caused.
Most of them are caused by an undersea earthquake, where there is a vertical displacement of the seafloor, and that vertical displacement gets propagated up through the water and creates the surface wave, which goes out as and becomes what we know as a tsunami. There can be other causes, submarine landslides. You can have an asteroid impact or something like that. But most of them are probably caused by underwater volcanoes. Underwater earthquakes.
And I was talking about Asia being hit particularly hard, obviously, this past week and then heading into this week. So it made me wonder, what are the areas that seem to be the most at risk? I mean, maybe I'm answering my own question.
Well, it's really an interesting question because you have to define what do you mean by risk? What's the total risk of an issue like this? And let me walk you through this for just a moment. Total risk has to be more than just the frequency of occurrence or something. All right, total risk is normally defined as a combination of the hazard frequency, that is how often it occurs, and then times the elements at risk. That's number of people who might be at risk, the amount of infrastructure might be at risk, and finally you multiply that by something called the vulnerability, and that is, do we have our head in the sand or not? Are we prepared for this? Are we thinking about this? So when you add them all up together, or multiply them out, actually the way it's properly done, you find that the total risk for some areas, like the Western Atlantic, the Caribbean region in particular, are much, much higher than you might expect.
And there's, you know, this, I know, again, this is a crazy question, but of course, what people always wonder afterwards, isn't there any way we can find out ahead of time, rather than just a few minutes or just by being shocked at what we see coming toward us? Is there anything that's being developed or worked on for a little bit more of a warning for any kind of a tsunami or this earthquake that happens that causes a tsunami, or that's really just an impossibility, Doc?
No, not really. It depends on how close you are to where the earthquake occurred. Let me give you an example. There was a great earthquake just off of the coast of Chile in 1960. The people in Chile probably had 5 to 10 minutes of warning. The people in Hawaii had a half a day, and the people in Japan had a full day of warning. So it really depends on where you are, because these waves travel through the ocean at a known speed, and because we know what speed they travel at, we can forecast when they're going to arrive. But if you're really close to where the earthquake occurred, like what happened in the American Samoa last week, then you have a very short amount of time to act and protect your life.
So when you have a short amount of time, this seems obvious too, but do you just run for the highest point? I mean, is that really all you can do? If you are on the beach, something seems odd, you just start to go in the opposite direction, right?
Absolutely. Forget the picnic basket, grab the kids, and get off the beach. That's what you have to do.
And, you know, I've heard people talk about that, where they felt they had a weird premonition or felt something strange and felt like something was coming on, and they started to go in the other direction and just missed. I mean, they were hit by the tsunami, but they were further up the road, miles in, because they started to, for whatever reason, go away from the waterfront and survived. I mean, sadly, we've seen some awful tsunamis, certainly, in the last 4 or 5 years. 2004, that tsunami, that's probably one of the deadliest, right, in history that formed in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, probably the deadliest that we know of. The numbers are probably never going to be known for sure, but certainly 200,000 people died in that particular event.
Wow. In the study of waves, and people study this too, there's a lot you can learn from the waves besides getting away from tsunamis, just in general weather patterns and whatnot. What do you do at the Florida Institute of Technology? Are you working on any of those kind of things?
Yeah, we've been working on issues of Atlantic tsunami risk, and many people don't perceive there being much of a risk in the Atlantic. But in fact, according to some people who do the beam counting, one out of every four tsunamis occurs in the North Atlantic Ocean, if you include the Caribbean Sea and the Mediterranean. There was an event in 1755, which was the Great Lisbon Earthquake and Fire and Tsunami. That event, it probably killed something on the order of 60,000 people in Western Europe and North Africa. That event also sent waves across the Atlantic. We know it killed people in Martinique and the Lesser Antilles and Saba and the Lesser Antilles. There are very few reports of it outside of those areas, probably because there weren't very many people there. We did some calculations for that particular event as it might affect the east coast of Florida. And if you're familiar with the geography of the east coast of Florida, is a major seaport near Cape Canaveral called Port Canaveral. And we estimate that Port Canaveral would be completely inundated by that event had it occurred today. And just south of that is a major Air Force base, Kilpatrick Air Force Base, and we would calculate also that the wave would cross over the barrier island and flood much of the Air Force Base. So a lot of people would be hurt from an event like that. With the present tsunami warning system setting up for the Atlantic Ocean getting better and better all the time, that event probably would give us maybe 6 hours of warning in Florida. But if people are not prepared, then the vulnerability is very, very high, and the total risk, the equation we talked about in the very beginning of all this, still is extremely high.
Right, so then it would be a question of, too, it's that getting the word out thing, right? People just, as much as you can, if you do have that 6 hours, if you do have some time, if that all develops, then it's just like, and certainly Floridians know this better than anyone else, but other people listening to me across the country have dealt with this. It's like hurricane warning systems can be tremendous, but sometimes people choose to ignore them. It'd be great to see tsunami systems come into place where you actually had a debate whether people were going to ignore them or not, because right now that's not a factor, but it'd be great to see that. And certainly, as you said, it could be disastrous in the Atlantic if that happened, right?
That's our biggest concern. That gets back to the vulnerability issue. Most cities are not prepared for it, and very few of them are what we call a tsunami-ready community. And a tsunami-ready community is like a hurricane-ready community. They go through periodic drills that they know what to do. The police knows to go to the beach, get people off. The fire department knows to do this, and the city council knows to do that. There's only 3 or 4 or maybe 5 or so tsunami-ready communities on the east coast of the United States. And the first one was right here just south of Cape Canaveral, a small town called Indian Harbor Beach. And it took a long time for us to make that happen. But it takes that dedication, that willingness to practice and train and to inform your community as to what to do in case of an event.
Yeah, and if they ever need it, boy, then Indian Harbor Beach will be the ones they'll be prepared there.
That's about the only one in Florida at the moment. That's correct.
Wow, incredible. Dr. Maul, thanks so much for coming on. Will you join us again sometime down the line?
My pleasure, anytime.
Next time I want to talk about sharks.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Maul.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. George Maul, professor of oceanography. You heard what he had to say. Interesting. So there are 3 places in the United States where they're practicing the tsunami warnings, and as he said, in Florida, just the one, the Indian Harbor Beach. And so many people can relate to hurricane warnings, like I mentioned, and also tornado warnings. You know, when you hear the sirens and still you don't get a lot of time, but at least the sirens will go off. And if you're aware of it in your area, you know what to do to take cover, etc. Odds and ends. What happened over the weekend that you might have missed? We'll talk about it next round the bend.
That there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge. yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreen Clean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreen Clean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreen Clean. It cleans anything.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You've heard the Get the Tea commercials, and many people like our commercials, but I did notice something. What the heck is a toxin? So, here it is. A toxin is a poisonous substance that is capable of causing disease when introduced into the body. Formaldehyde, from seat cushions and particle board. How about carbon monoxide, furnace-burning propane, butane, disinfectants, perfume? Mouthwash? Glues? Air fresheners? Pesticides? Oh my gosh, even sugar is a toxin, according to Dr. Lau. It's a very addictive drug. It's time to fight back. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can get your trusty cell phone out and call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And put in your order today. Lose weight, feel good, and be free of all these toxins. GetTheTea.com.
Bucks barely down the street with the pink blue way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of the seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
Chicago is out. Chicago is out.
Yeah, Chicago is out big time. In fact, Chicago went out after getting just 18 votes. How about that? The full court press by Obama, Oprah Winfrey, who I'm sure is not used to losing, Michelle Obama, a whole crew of people were there. Mayor Daley was there from Chicago, but didn't even make it into that all-important final round. And, of course, Rio de Janeiro is now chosen, or was chosen, on Friday as the city that was going to host the 2016 Olympics.
Chicago is out?
So it was not to happen for Chicago. So what do you think happened there? I was talking to a few people about this, and they said, you know, Chicago is a great city, but there's too many murders. Then the theory was floated that, well, you know, the United States has hosted a ton of games. Yes, the United States has hosted lots of Olympic games. South America has not. Zero. None. Nunca. And now you've got Brazil, which is an emerging world economy, and everything that Rio has to offer, just don't put your wallet in the front of your pants or somewhere where your wallet could get stolen because they have problems with pickpocketers there. But Rio had a certain je ne sais quoi, as our friends in Montreal would say. The the Obama people just didn't have it. Whatever the press was, it didn't, it didn't work. I really think Obama also is not used to losing. Figured flying over on Air Force One when he's very busy, landing in Copenhagen, and really, like I said, pushing for the Olympics in person would have made a difference to make that plea for the city of Chicago. But talk about falling flat. I mean, this fell flat big time, like you just heard, so much so that the city was cut like that in the first three rounds of voting. So, and then what happens is, and I said this, how much of a risk is it for Obama to go and do this? And some people would say, who cares? Then other people would say, well, you're burning some of that fuel up, going there on the Air Force One in the middle of this health care debate when there may be a vote now. They're saying possibly by Tuesday. And then there's also this push for the public option, by the way, because don't think that that's totally gone away. It's smoke and mirrors. It's sitting there in the background lurking around. Trust me, it is. So in the middle of that, in the middle of what's happening with Iran, in the middle of everything that's going on in the United States, fly over to Copenhagen, and it didn't work out. Afterwards, Obama said, I believe it's worthwhile to promote and boost the United States of America and invite the world to come and see what we're all about. And we would have been eager to host the games, but our athletes are excited to compete in 2016. But there were a lot of people that were pretty critical about a couple of folks here, including the mayor, Richard Daley, because he didn't accurately get the feeling of the Chicago support before putting the president on the line for this, on the hook for it. Just thought that, the word that we were hearing on Thursday is, bank on it, Chicago's got it, we've landed it, we've nailed it, we've nailed it shut, and they did no such thing. They didn't nail it shut at all. Also, Valerie Jarrett, who is the administration's liaison, basically, with anyone in the business community. She's the former vice chairman of the Chicago Bid Committee. So she also directed the White House to go for this push, feeling that the bid would be theirs, that this was the right thing to do. And obviously they weren't successful. So Obama listened to the people around him and ended up with egg on his face, since there was so much dust kicked up over him going to Copenhagen in the first place. And really, Chicago wasn't in the running. I mean, how many votes? It was like 18 votes or something. They got terrible when you think of how many people were there. So typical party lines. Democrats supported the trip, but, talked about the possibility of the backlash. Naturally, GOP, where I stood on it, and many of you called to say, is this not crazy? Is this wheels off the track again with the things that are happening? In fact, later on this show, we're going to let you hear a little parody of Obama that was on Saturday Night Live. And, Saturday Night Live's kind of lost some of the funny parts of it. But when it comes to politics, they do nail it occasionally, and they nailed this good when it came to Obama. And we'll let you hear the parody. I think you'll laugh your head off. And it has to do with really what's happened with Obama since he's been in office. And for my money, I think the priorities should have been chosen better, and this was just it wasn't the right thing for him to do. So then, of course, Chicago isn't even in the running anyway. I mean, there's no Midas touch here now. It's starting to fall off, and there wasn't in this case. And I was thinking about this. Imagine if anybody else ran off to Copenhagen when we have all these other things to deal with. Wasn't really in his best interests. So, hey, he threw up the Hail Mary. It didn't happen. And we'll see if it ends up costing him in the laundry list of problematic things that have happened in this first term. Because I'll say it again, I say it all the time, he's playing, or this administration is playing, for another 4 years. Just like the previous one with Bush, just like the previous one with Clinton. The people around Obama are supposedly trying to get him reelected again for another four. Man, they are botching the job. All right, talking about the White House in odds and ends and wrapping up things from the weekend, one of them being Chicago not even coming close. That was all about Rio. Another thing that's been interesting behind the scenes, it seems as though this whole public option has died on the vine, right? But that's not true. There is a behind-the-scenes campaign to get Senate Democrats to take up some version of the public option in the next week or weeks ahead, right? We know the president advocated the public option, the so-called public option, but at the same time was supposedly, in many of the speeches that he gave, open to other ways for you and me to get an affordable alternative to health plans sold by the insurers, by the private guys, right? But now they're having all these private meetings, I mean, every single day, with anybody who will listen, any senior Democratic staff member who will listen, to include some version, smoke and mirrors, of the public plan in the health care bill that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is going to bring to the Senate floor later in the month. Among the people who are usually in the meetings include Obama's top health care advisor and, of course, aides to Senator Reid and the Senate Finance and Health Committee staff, because they're developing the health care bills. We already know that. But trust me, the push is on. It is not gone. The Senate Finance Committee wraps up the work on the legislation. They were doing that over the weekend and heading into the weekend, then move toward a formal committee vote, probably Tuesday is what I heard, and they're trying to get those compromises in to get enough votes to pass the bill out of the two chambers later in the month, which is what I just mentioned. Keep this in mind. You're listening to me wherever you are, Iowa, Illinois, etc. When we talk about health care and the votes and the various bills and all that other sort of stuff, you have to think about this. In the Senate, Democrats need a 60-vote supermajority to head off that Republican filibuster, right? The party has a 60-40 majority. They've got the two independents, too, you would think, right? But several Democrats are saying they don't like parts of the health care agenda, so they're still holdouts. And that's what a lot of this maneuvering is about. So ears to the ground, ears to the Capitol, that's where I'm going to be the next couple of weeks, trying to figure out what's really happening, at least through sources. But this is a critical, critical time, because this is the inside deal in the Beltway. This is the real politics behind politicking. Major deals struck behind closed doors. And those lawmakers that just waffle or waver enough start to get pressured into supporting whatever the legislation is. And that's what's starting to happen. So the so-called public option might not just float away into the ozone. I couldn't resist. It might not just float away as easily as some would think. Quickly wrapping up the weekend, Zombie Land with Woody Harrelson, because you know we always do our cheap movie reviews on Thursday. That movie was number one at the box office, raking in $25 million plus. Now, Capitalism, the Michael Moore flick, it's the worst opening he's had, I guess, since 2002. A little bit over $5 million for his movie. So it didn't even come within the top five. In fact, I guess it was seven overall if we crunched all the numbers from the box office. So Capitalism, some people went to see it. It's just the first week. But Michael Moore with the worst opening since 2002, and a movie called Zombie Land ruled when it came to ticket buyers across the land. Stay with us. Coming up next, more on what's going on with Iran and other worldly features.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
We head to the finish line for this hour of America tonight. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Yeah, we're getting closer to the holidays. We're in October already. That means before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving. Before you know it, it'll be Hanukkah, Christmas, and everything else in between. It's like it just happens. It happens every year like clockwork. But what I'm saying is it seems like when you hit October, then it's like boom, 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 everything right in a row. You start to see the, I don't know, it's annoying to me. You start to see in the beginning of October, you look around and you start to see Christmas decorations. And I'm thinking, wow, just a little too early for me to deal with the Christmas thing. I don't know, Matt, do you? I mean, I like Christmas and I'm a spirited person, but I don't like Christmas in October. Do you? Are you seeing any Christmas decorations anywhere?
I haven't been out to the mall or anything like that, so I guess I haven't checked, but I'm sure that they are, because that it always seems to be, you know, before it was after Thanksgiving, then it's Christmas time, then it was November, and now, you know, they're probably just skipping right over Halloween.
Yeah, just skip it. Hey, the costumes are out. Pick one up. It's on sale right now. Yeah. It is. It's so weird. I can never remember it. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't aware of it, but I just don't remember it. Everything just all of a sudden colliding at once right in the top of October. And the reason I bring it up is just in the grocery store today, I noticed that there were Christmas things out. Then I thought, well, I don't know, that's a little odd. Then I was someplace else. I guess it was Home Depot, and I saw Christmas signs about Christmas gifts. I'm like, wow, now that's early.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like every year they move holidays up more and more just so they can sell more stuff. And just you get inundated with Christmas all over, I don't know, the decorations, the lights. And people leave their lights up all the time, like year-round.
I know. It's going to be Christmas in July before you know it. It's crazy. Crazy. I just said we were going to go around the world here in this segment, and we will. Let's catch you up to date. Sadly, 8 U.S. troops killed in Afghanistan. I mean, I hate to hear of anyone being killed in Afghanistan. Now, with this wrestling of the strategy, what strategy do we have? What's the end game? Is McChrystal going to get his troops 30 to 40,000? And what really would spell a victory in Afghanistan? When we're talking to the top general in Iraq who says, well, we can't really declare a victory in Iraq and we won't know for 5 to 10 years. What are we going to say about Afghanistan 10 years from now? So hundreds were attacked, hundreds of militants attacked American and Afghan troops in eastern Afghanistan, just opened fire basically on an outpost from a couple of different locations. They had rockets and mortars and machine guns, and that's pretty much how the report reads. So it is the largest number of Americans killed by hostile action in just a single day in more than a year. And at least 13 Afghan police officers were captured in the attack. That's sad news as well. 12 hours was, this is how long this showdown lasted, with the militants pouring the firing down on this joint task force and this outpost above the base. And, this is what this war is about. They also fired from a local mosque, and hundreds of militant fighters surrounded the two outposts in the attack, like I said. And yet the terrain, the weather, it worked against the U.S. troops, and the firing positions in the mountains, this is always the concern, gave them the edge. Now, the U.S. is saying they don't have any indication that the death toll will rise. And as I mentioned, it's very tough, and certainly our hearts go out to the families who lost those soldiers. But 8 troops killed in really an ambush. That's what it was. It was an ambush, and that's the kind of fighting that you see in Afghanistan. We talked to Dr. Maul about this at the top of the show, talking about tsunamis and how they're formed and what we're seeing lately with tsunamis and would there be a warning system ever developed. 15 dead as a typhoon whipped the Philippines, ended up flattening a bunch of villages. And, of course, when I say flattening the villages, people dead, they don't know. They're still searching for people. Heavy, heavy flooding. But 15 is the official count right now. I said I would mention Iran. Iran was heavy, heavy, heavy on the minds of a lot of people last week. In fact, I had said here on the show, do you really believe Iran? You think they're developing a nuke, that they want to develop a nuke? Do I think they want to develop a nuke? The answer is yes. Do I think they're developing a nuke? The answer is yes. But the clouds lifted, and supposedly the UN was going to get to do this inspection. So what does that mean? Full disclosure, the United Nations inspectors are going to visit Iran's nuclear power plant on October 25th, so they firmed up the date over the weekend. That's according to the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And the inspectors will do this whole verification thing to ensure that what they're doing is for peaceful purposes. Iran keeps saying that it's only for peaceful purposes, that we're not trying to build nuclear weapons. Tomas is listening to us in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Well, you know, you were talking about firing from a mosque. Guess what, Kit? I'm reading the tactical directive from General Stanley McChrystal. Now, I remember Vietnam, Kate. And these are the same type of stinking generals we had back then who got men killed because they wanted to follow the insane rules of engagement that were coming down from the White House. I'm just going to read you just a few sentences, okay?
Mm-hmm.
expect leaders at all levels to scrutinize and limit the use of force like close air support against residential compounds and other locations likely to produce civilian casualties in accordance with this guideline. Commanders must weigh the gain of using close air support against the cost of civilian casualties, which in the long run make mission success more difficult and turn the Afghan people against us. The use of air-to-ground munitions and indirect fires, that means artillery, against residential compounds is only authorized under very limited and prescribed conditions. And then a lot of those commission, those are, they say, you know, they're a secret. So for operational security, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We will not isolate the population from us through our daily conduct or execution of combat operations. Therefore, an entry into an Afghan house should always be accomplished by Afghan national security forces with the support of local authorities and account for the unique cultural sensitivities toward local women. No ISAF forces will enter or fire upon or fire into a mosque or any religious or historical site except in self-defense. All searches and entries for any other reason will be conducted by Afghan national security forces.
Yeah, and therein lies the rub when you talk about how many ancient sites are there, and especially, as you said, right at the tail end there, the mosque. So look what happens. You have 8 guys dead as a result, 12 hours of being fired upon, just shellacked with rockets and mortar and everything you can imagine, and a surprise attack.
And they want to send 40,000 more troops to be sent into a situation where they're going to be handcuffed. I mean, I think you can understand from all the conversations we had, I'm all for wiping out the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. and whoever else mm-hmm. wants to come up against the U.S. Mm-hmm. But I do not want a Vietnam redo. I do not want to be handcuffed with the same rules of engagement. I do not want our troops to be sent out into the boonies to look for the enemy, and then when the enemy sees us coming, they shoot at us and then go back into a sanctuary. And in Vietnam, it was exactly. Cambodia and Laos. Mm-hmm. And right now in Iraq, it's Iran and Syria. And, you know, in Afghanistan, it's Pakistan. We can't have that again, and especially with not this type of commander-in-chief.
I totally agree with you. I mean, well said at the tail of that, especially, Tomas, thanks. We can't have that again. That's what I keep saying over and over and over again. You cannot have a repeat of Vietnam. Nobody wants to see this, and this is just an indication of the direction we're headed. While the president is off stumping for votes for Chicago so that they can get the Olympics in 2016, when I don't know who was informing him, but they really had no shot at it. We'll leave you with this one. Football is like life. It requires perseverance, self-denial, hard work, sacrifice, dedication, and respect for authority.